I confess I always disliked this parable I just read. Here is what I heard it saying. Good Christians know how sinful they are and they feel really bad about it. If you aren't feeling really awful about how bad you are, there's something wrong with you. So if you feel good about yourself, that's bad. And if you feel bad about yourself, that's good. It looked like a no-win situation to me. I decided to take a closer look at this text. There was one unforgettable moment during my student days at Union Seminary. Patrick Miller at that time was a young professor of Old Testament. His mother was attending a guest lecture in Schopler Hall. Schopler Hall used to be a sanctuary for a church, and it's a big Gothic-looking room. And I don't even remember who the lecturer was. I don't remember one thing the lecturer said, but they had a question and answer section after this. And Pat Miller's mother was a ball of fire. She was a real feisty little woman, and she stood up during the question and answer time and said, "Sin, sin, sin. I think we have heard quite enough about sin." And the crowd was delighted, partly because of what she said and partly because her son was so deeply embarrassed and was standing there blushing, and we were enjoying his discomfort tremendously. Was Pat Miller's mother right? But isn't sin the main human problem? Does God want us to live every day with an acute awareness of our own sinfulness and feel guilty? Are we missing something here? Could it be that there is a difference between wanting to be better than other people and wanting to be better for other people? Wanting to be better than other people is goodness as a competitive sport, and we've all played it, and we know some people who play it all the time. Wanting to be better for other people comes out of a place of love, comes out of our best instincts to be a better husband or wife, son, daughter, citizen, worker, friend, Christian, human. Andrew Solomon, in his book Far From the Tree, has written on parents of different children and how those children develop their identity. The differences vary. Deaf children, most of whom are born to hearing parents. Autistic children, children with dwarfism, mentally handicapped children, musical prodigies, which he says that doesn't seem like a handicap, but if you are the parent of one of those children, they are as different from you as other different kinds of children are different from their parents, and all the experts come in just like they do if you have another kind of child. Schizophrenics, transgender children, and this category is unlike the others. Criminal children. Solomon spent hours and hours interviewing the parents of Dylan Klebold, one of the Columbine High School shooters. It took a long time for them to be willing to talk to him at all. But he said once they did, they just couldn't stop talking. The story just poured out. About 20 hours after his first interview, I mean, he interviewed these people over multiple weekends, and this first time they just went hour after hour for about 20 hours, and they were sitting exhausted at the kitchen table. And he just said, "If Dylan were here, is there anything you would want to ask him?" And the father immediately said, "I sure would. I'd want to ask him what the hell he was thinking and what the hell he thought he was doing." His mother, Sue, looked down the floor for a minute before saying quietly, "I would ask him to forgive me for being his mother and never knowing what was going on inside his head, for not being able to help him, for not being the person that he could confide in." Later, Sue said, When it first happened, I used to wish that I had never had children, that I had never married. If Tom and I hadn't crossed paths at Ohio State, Dylan would not have existed, and this terrible thing would not have happened. But over time, I've come to feel that for myself, I'm glad I had kids and glad I had the kids I did, because the love for them, even at the price of this pain, has been the single greatest joy of my life. I know it would have been better for the world if Dylan had never been born, but I believe it would not have been better for me. Sue Klebold wishes she had been a better mother to Dylan, not so she could look good in the eyes of the community or even to God. She didn't want to win a goodness contest. That's not why she wanted to be a better mother. She wanted to be a better mother because she loved her son so much. Her plea for mercy is born of love. The cry for mercy, as Jesus understood it, came only out of love. Out of a relationship so compelling that you really do hunger and thirst after righteousness. You hunger and thirst not for yourself, but for the other. It has nothing to do with getting bad grades on your goodness report card. Andrew Solomon told another story of a mother who gave birth to a son with diastrophic dwarfism. There are many different kinds of dwarfism. This apparently is one of the worst. She was advised to leave the baby at the hospital, to never see him, never take him home. They told her that he would never walk and he would probably be mentally extremely limited. They told her, just let us find an institution for him. We will take care of it. But she couldn't do it. She took her son, Clinton Brown, home. And although she had only a limited education and limited financial resources, she found the best doctor in the country for people with his rare condition. He had 29 major surgeries. With all the help he got, he finished high school and even went to college nearby, the first in his family to do so. He had a specially fitted car so he could drive. One day, his mother spotted his car in the parking lot of a bar. She didn't dare burst in on him, she said, but she sent him a whole lot of messages on her cell phone. And she was thinking, he is 3 feet tall, they are 6 feet tall. 2 beers for him is like 4 beers for them. Then she said, if you'd told me when he was born that my worry would be that he'd go out drinking and driving with his college buddies, I would have been overjoyed. Andrew Solomon asked her what she had done to produce such a resilient and remarkable son. She said, what did I do? I loved him, that's all. Clinton just always had this light in him. And his father and I were lucky enough to be the first ones to see it. I have a friend from high school who has 2 mentally handicapped sons. Their handicaps come from entirely different sources. The first one had the cord wrapped around his neck and was oxygen deprived at birth. And then she had a second son that is much more severely limited. And they think maybe he became that way because she was living at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. Camp Lejeune had water that was contaminated with all sorts of things, almost like dry cleaning fluid. The military didn't put it in there, but they knew it was there, and they didn't tell anybody. And she was living there and drank this water throughout her pregnancy. She said that when she realized her second son was handicapped, she decided, these boys may not be the best thing that ever happened to me, but I was going to be the best thing that ever happened to them. Is there a parent alive who hasn't wished he or she could have been a better parent? Not because we're trying to measure up to some abstract standard, but because we love these children and we just wanted to be better parents for them. Christianity is not a self-help program. It is not really about self at all. You can't get to the goodness Jesus is talking about by focusing on your goodness. You get there, if you get there at all, through love for others. Christianity ensnares us in a love so great that it hurts to be anything less than what we want to be for the other person, for the other cause, for the world. God does not want us to feel guilty. God does not want us to go around hating ourselves. God wants us to allow ourselves to let go of fears and defenses and unleash all the love we are capable of. Love God, love others, and the rest will take care of itself. We have in us the capacity to see in ourselves and in others what Clinton Brown's mother saw in him. Clinton just always had that light in him, and his father and I were lucky enough to be the first ones to see it. We are capable of seeing that in ourselves and other people. It's in us. Great love brings joy, but it can also bring the worst pain we'll ever feel. It can bring you sadness and disappointment in yourself and in other people. It can drive you to your knees and make you beg for mercy. But when you come to your last day, when I come to my last day, we will be thanking God with our very last breath for being loved and for loving. We will have done it. Loved, cried, failed, begged, known exquisite joy, lived deeply. Well done, good and faithful servants. May God have mercy on us. Amen.